SNI Digital Innovations in Learning in association with the Hose Neurosurgery Lab in Baghdad, Iraq, are pleased to present the 21st SNI and SNI Digital Baghdad Neurosurgery Online Meeting held on January 20th, 2024. The meeting originator and coordinator is Samer Hose of the Universities of Baghdad and Cincinnati. The theme of this meeting is on spine diseases, complex spine, spinal cord, and nerve root diseases, successful management strategies outside high resource environments, how we do it. The moderator and discussant for this meeting is Nancy Epstein, who's the clinical professor of neurologic surgery at the School of Medicine at State University of New York at Stony Brook in New York, and also the editor-in-chief of Surgical Neurology International. The speaker is Dr. Yossi Adil Tassa of the IBN Teaching Hospital in Mosul, Iraq. He will speak about the challenges in the diagnosis and management of symptomatic lumbar spinal instability in a limited resource environment. He has two case examples from his large experience, and we'll talk about how he does it with discussion from the audience.
Thank you, Professor Nancy. Thank you, Dr. Samer. Thank you, Mr. James. Professor James, you're giving me this chance to give this lecture. I hope it will be beneficial and to hear from you a lot of things which are beneficial to all of us. In fact, I was in Petersburg at 2010, attending a program for Gamma Knife, training on Gamma Knife, about 2 weeks. I was in Petersburg under Professor Ransfeld in the UPMC. Okay. I choose for today's subject some problems appearing to us or we are facing during our as neurosurgeons, as spine surgeons, in fact, which is the inability to detect 100% that this patient is having any stable spine or stable spine for degenerative disease of spine, for example, as one of the common diseases in any locality. I will start with this case, in fact. This first case, she was a woman, 60 years old woman, presented to me complaining from chronic backache for 3 years. This backache radiates to the right foot. Neurogenic intermittent claudication was also present in her. She has good control of sphincters. Her lower limb pain was more than her backache. On examination, there was no focal neurological deficit, and the straight leg rising test was partially positive in the right side, which is the same side of radiation of her backache. I did for her this MRI of lumbosacral spine, as you can see. I find that she was having, from the sagittal view, spinal stenosis at the level of L3, L4, and L4, L5. And this is the previous one was the sagittal view, and these are the axial views of L3, L4 level. You can see the stenosis clear, and it's more clear at the level of L4, L5. And you can see also that the right nerve root more affected than the left nerve root.
And there's marked hypertrophy of the yellow ligament on that picture. Can you go back to that picture for a second?
Yes.
On both images, the hypodense material dorsolateral to the thecal sac is hypertrophy of the yellow ligament that's seen bilaterally.
Yes, yes. Yes, quite clear.
And on the right side to the image on your left, There is some fluid in that facet joint at L3-4, also potentially contributing to a synovial cyst component that perhaps is not fully visualized.
Yes. Right? This is Milo.
Uh-huh.
Myelogram in the AP and distal view, core view. And as usual, I did this for all my patients before seeing a dynamic X-ray of the spine's inflection extension. As you can see, this inflection and extension. In fact, I find that the spine looks stable. No clear sign of instability, fracture pars, or listhesis was found in flexion and extension dynamics. So that my decision was to make for her decompressive laminectomy and lateral format of L3, L4, and L4, L5.
Any problems intraoperatively?
At surgery, this is the video from in surgery. What?
Were there any intraoperative
problems? This is the intraoperative video. Uh-huh. Found the L4 was moving. I repeat again.
Okay.
It was unstable. So that before surgery, I decided only decompression of L3, L4, L4, L5. Now I will do decompression of L3, L4, L4, L5, but as far as the L4 is the, unstable, as we saw all of us, so that I decided to do fixation of this patient. And these are the pictures from inside surgery, from the fluoroscope, eye fixation of L3, L4, and L5. After that, the patient was okay, discharged home.
Did you do a supplemental posterior lateral fusion at that point? Is that where you placed the bone?
Yes, I put the posterior lateral fusion, yes, by bones.
How did the patient do?
No. Yes. Regarding spine instability, in general, clinical instability is an important cause of low back pain. And lumbar segment instability, important but often unrecognized cause of chronic low back pain, it has been controversial and poorly understood topic primarily because of the varying definitions and usage among the several disciplines involved in treatment of spine disorders. Traditionally, one of the most obvious manifestations of lumbar instability has been the radiographic diagnosis of spondylolisthesis with increased segmental motion reported in patients with chronic low back pain. However, lumbar segmental instability, microinstability, also has been cited as a cause of chronic low back pain in patients without any injury to the osseous bone, osseous spine, with a number of studies reporting increased and abnormal intersegmental motion in these patients. The stabilizing system of the spinal column, the muscles, and the neural canal, the neural control unit. In 1992, Punjab defined spinal stability as a region of laxity around the neutral position of a spinal segment called the neutral zone, and more precisely as decreased in the capacity of a stabilizing system of the spine to maintain the vertebral neutral zone. There is no major deformity, no neurological deficit, and no incapacitating pain. This definition is useful because it describes the quality of motion throughout the range of motion rather than relying solely on the total range of motion values for diagnosis.
It's also well recognized. It's well recognized in literature. It's well recognized in the literature that if patients are awake and they have spasm, that you may not get evidence of significant motion on your flexion to extension studies. So that adds to the lack of reliability of these studies. If it shows motion, great. If it doesn't show motion, you cannot completely rule it out.
Yes. Other conceptual definition of clinical stability, the ability of the spine and their physiologic loads to limit displacement so as to prevent injury or irritation of the spinal cord and nerve roots, including cauda equina, and to prevent incapacitating deformity or pain due to structural changes. Biomechanical stability refers to the ability of the spine to resist forces. Now, for my patients, what was the problem? Because I told her family that the operation will be only just decompression without any instrumentation. But as far as during surgery, we discovered that she was having an instability. The decision changed. This means that the family will pay for the price of the screws, which I need for fixation, because these screws are not available in our general hospitals. And in fact, these patients are done in the general hospital because most of them are poor people. They are not able to pay for the private hospitals. So that the operation will be free of charge, but they are obliged to pay for the price of the screws, which sometimes is difficult for some families. So that I told the family during surgery that your patient, I discovered that she has an unstable spine, and we for her screws, and they agree, and they pay to the company, which she left the screws in our hospital, and we did the fixation as you saw. Now, spine stability is subject of debate. Despite multitude of biomechanical, radiographic, and clinical studies, normal motion of the lumbar vertebral segments continues to be a topic of debate because of the lack of standardized measurements in normal subjects. Radiography, can it detect instability accurately, 100%? Correlating clinical instability and radiographic instability also has difficulty because of the overlap of symptomatic and asymptomatic motion patterns. Additionally, conventional radiography often is insensitive and unreliable in detecting abnormal or excessive intersegmental motion. Currently, no scientific evidence exists on how to make the diagnosis of lumbar instability, nor is there any proof of successful treatment. Surgical fusion operations may be useful in properly selected patients in situations for which the surgical approach has necessitated destabilization by laminectomy and fasciectomy. Refined by planar radiographic techniques promise better definitions for future diagnostic studies. Then I give case number two. This is also a woman, age 58 years old, presented to me the chronic backache for more than 6 years. Her back to her right lower limb. Her backache was more than her lower limb. She had no focal analgesic deficit, control of sphincters. The citrate degrassi test was negative for her. This is her MRI of lumbar sacral spine. In fact, she was having also dynamic exercise, flexion extension, which showed to me clearly, that she was having unstable or dyslexia at a level of L4, L5. Unfortunately, this X-ray is lost during surgery, during the operating the theater. They did not find them in the bag of the X-rays. This is here also Milo, MR myelogram. The animal flesh, as I told you, not available, but showed grade 1, L4, L5 spondylolisthesis. This was fixation of L4, L5 with decompression and distraction reduction for her. What happened at surgery? There was a grade 1 L4 L5 spondylolisthesis with a fracture part of L3 with very clearly moving all posterior elements of L3 and even of L5. So that the three vertebrae were unstable. L3, L4, L5, all of them were unstable. The only one discovered by X-ray was L4, L5 level, but at surgery, three levels were all fractured. What we did for her, we did for her fixation of L. As you can see, L3, L4, L5, and S1. And decompression also for the L4, L5, as you can see, partial S1. Lateral also, lateral bony fusion, posterolateral bony fusion, and postoperatively, she was okay. Alhamdulillah. Now, at the end, take home messages for all of my colleagues. Lumbar spine instability is an important cause of low back pain. Clinical diagnosis of lumbar spine instability is impossible. Even dynamic X-rays, flexion, extension of lumbar spines can also mislead you. Don't tell your patient that your patient and his family may need fixation until you are sure about the diagnosis or if you discover instability during surgery. This point is quite important, that some of the surgeons told their patients, your patient is in need for fixation. Our patients are jumped from one neurosurgeon to other neurosurgeon to other spine surgeons, advices. So that they say, come to me, they said, I visited two or three doctors, most of them or two, both of them told me you are in need for fixation or screws. But I saw their X-rays and their dynamic X-rays are looking stable. How they choose this I don't know. So that another important point, that if I tell my patient, you may need screws or fixation as a possibility, not 100%, this will be a fixation point for this patient, that post surgery, any back pain, any lower limb pain, he will come to me to visit and say, doctor, you told me you may need screws. If you put the screws for me, it was better. Now I will be needed for other surgery. I told him you was not needed for fixation, and now you are not needed for fixation. Your baggage is other things like just simple spasm. Another important point, there are other sophisticated investigations may give us better information than MRI of the spine with all its modalities, sagittal, coronal, axial, and 3D, which usually we are not doing for digital spine disease. And you know that their cost will be also on the patient will be great. But they may give us more about suspicion of fractures if there's a fracture or no fracture. But as you know that for the spine, we are not doing CT scan unless the patient was having, for example, shells in his body or something vital which prevent him from doing MRI. Lastly, prepare yourself for the fixation at any time in doing degenerative spine surgeries. With regard to the availability of fixation system and the type of patient, fixation system availability in any hospital should be present. In the past, it was not available. Now it is available at each hospital. The companies are bringing their systems and are all sterilized in our hospital and are ready for surgery, for use. I mean, if we are during surgery discover that this patient is need for fixation, we will tell the family and we will do fixation. What this is, I mean, availability of fixation. And also, I mean, the type of patients. Type of patients that this patient is cooperative, he can agree my decision, whatever is it, even if I'm obliged to change my decision during surgery, for example, like the first case or the second case, he will agree. I mean, the type of patient type, polite patient, good patient with ethical patients.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Reiser. I should say first that you are traveling, and that's why you have some internet issues and some connection problem. The voice sometimes is not that clear, but it's understandable. That's the good thing. We really appreciate this presentation. I would like to listen to Professor Nancy now, your opinion, and if you need any image to see back to comment on, just for the benefit of all the attendees. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Yasser, and the mic is yours, Professor Nancy.
Yeah, I think that the conclusion is a very important one, and that is when you're dealing with degenerative, especially lumbar disease, I think the role of obtaining a preoperative CAT scan is a very, very important role. The other thing is not only will it pick up a lysis defect or other fractures, but you also have with CAT scan the option of doing essentially a flexion and extension CT scan, because a CAT scan is just going to take you seconds. So I think CT scans are extremely valuable, plus the fact that you can directly measure, based on the CAT scans, the size of the screws that you should have available in case you want to do a fusion or you need to do a fusion. The other comment I would have is, especially in the States, I think we really are obligated preoperatively to have the full discussion with the patient prior to the surgery about the options for or against having a fusion done. Here, if you haven't discussed the fusion preoperatively, you might have to do the decompression alone, wake the patient up, bring the patient back another day, and then do the fusion. I think the other thing too is if you have an older patient, you have an option in older patients with more degenerative pathology of considering using the intraoperative lamina that you've harvested and doing a non-instrumented posterior lateral in situ fusion without instrumentation.
Dr. Yasser, I think these are three points. The first is that Dr. Nancy said that it's a standard for them to do CT scan.
I hear them, all of them. I'm
you,
quite thankful.
Can you explain
to
why in Iraq it's not always available?
It is available. But as I told during my lecture, that the patient do more investigations is costly to the patient. X-ray flexion extension, dynamic X-rays. Unless you have, for example, traumatic CT scan, CAT scan.
Professor Nancy, do you hear the comment? Or?
Yes, I can hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, Jim, what were you going to say?
Well, first of all, yes, sir. Those were very, those are excellent presentations on a common problem that I'm sure Nancy will tell us is treated in many different ways. And what you did was very practical and very reasonable. I had some, in the first case, obviously, I could see it on the film that when you operated on it, it was a tremendous amount of motion, which led you to do the fusion. And that seemed reasonable. And on the second case, obviously, you had some idea beforehand with the spondylolisthesis. What I was going to, and I think all the things you showed were very good, very interesting, and I think very appropriate. I think Nancy is an expert in this, and I'm sure you are too. You mentioned that in your area that some of the patients cannot afford some of these procedures, and that's understandable. And Nancy has done some work on this. Nancy, under what circumstances, and this is true for people in rural Africa and in other parts of the world, it's where they don't have the instrumentation, can you treat these people by using a bony fusion and try to stabilize them externally and get similar results because it's cheaper and you don't have to use the instruments. I know in our country, everybody goes to instruments, but I think what Yasser is saying, maybe we don't need all that. So what's your point about that? And then yes, or maybe you can comment, Nancy.
Yeah. I think that, first of all, there has been a tremendous amount of literature on this topic. And a lot of the studies show that the outcomes for a grade one spondylolisthesis at L4-5, for example, are comparable if you do a decompression alone or a decompression with a non-instrumented or instrumented fusion. But number two, for years, especially if you have access to an operating microscope, if you can work from the opposite side of the OR table and undercut that L4-5 facet joint on either side to get lateral and foraminal decompression, you can often get away with a decompressive laminectomy alone without sacrificing the facets in these patients. And a lot of them will do very well from that in and of itself. For those who you think are really unstable, the bone that you harvest during the partial laminectomy of 4 and 5, or if you've done a total, save the bone, clean it, and then you can do a posterolateral non-instrumented or in situ fusion, placing it over the transverse processes. And 3, 4, 5, 6 months, take your choice. Different people are going to put you in an LSO brace or not. That can also be very effective. Lots of times it's more effective in your older versus your younger patients, but it does not always mean that you have to have an instrumented fusion. Instrumented fusions have become the vogue, but it does not mean that that's the end all or that's absolutely the only way.
Yeah, sir, what's your thoughts about that?
In fact, in the past, before the era of Segrus, we were doing minimal decompression and freeing of the nerve roots, and let the patient to dress built for about 3 months, for example, and under follow-up of these patients. And they were able to understand that we have no screws, so they were accept the idea of built for 3 months. But now all of our patients, they know that we have screws, and we are doing a lot of fixation and fusions by using these screws and the other parts. And they will not agree that I'll tell them, I found your spine was fractured. You were to dress the belt for 3 months. He would say to me, why you didn't do fixation for me? It was rapid action, and the results will be more rapid for me to get relief of my pain. 3 months are patients. If I'm not doing fixation and I discover that they are having the fractures.
How did you have some thoughts or comments about, this is a procedure that can be done differently all over the world. And Yasser's done an excellent job. And what are your thoughts about this, Hadi?
Jim, I'm very much impressed with the work Yasser has presented, and he is in Mosul with the difficult situation he is in. And I'm interested to know, where did he get his training first of spinal surgery to be so good?
In fact, I get my training in India, and the India Spine Injury Center. I started from the University of Health at about 2009. I spent at the end of 2009, at start of 2010, I spent at the India Spinal Center for 2 months. I learned everything about the spine. In addition, we are just always in contact with, if you know him, Professor Mehmet Zileli from Izmir, from Turkey. Now I'm in Turkey, in Istanbul. We are attending at Marmara University Hospital cadaveric course about cervical spine. Posterior and anterior, so that we are not only training only for in India, but continuous training and learning from many other programs.
Well, in our time, Jim, we didn't have fixation at that time, where the instrument was very much limited, especially the time of sanctions. We used to do just the usual work of maybe foraminectomy. That's the most elegant perhaps part of the surgery, rather than compression and things.
So my question too is, are you using a microscope on these cases? Do you have access to microscopes?
We have a microscope, and we are sometimes using it for decompression.
You're sometimes or always, or what was that answer?
I'm not most of the time, in fact, according to the hospital availability. In our CTG hospital, we have a microscope, we are using it, or we are using the loops.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no microscope.
Because my experience is that, you know, the microscope is so much better because not only you can see what you're doing, but it also allows your assistant to see what you're doing and better facilitate helping you. This is particularly important if you are in the lateral recess and you're foraminally working and you have hypertrophy of the ileal ligament or even a synovial cyst extending foraminally. It's the only way, I think, that you can best decompress laterally and foraminally without sacrificing too much of the facet joint and therefore enhancing or increasing the instability while you're doing the decompression. So I think using a microscope whenever you can, both for you and for your assistant, is certainly much better for the patient rather than leaving a microscope in the corner of the room or something like that.
No, well, once it's available, we are using it. Once it's available in the hospital, we are using it. But if it's not available, we are using the loops.
Yeah.
The loops instead. In fact, we are doing a lot of surgeries. We are doing tea leaf cages. We are putting them. We did the scoliosis about as a group of spine disease, spine mobility. Even we are doing scoliosis surgeries. Cervical spines also, we are doing ACDF, for example, and also screws as well. And even the craniocervical junction, we are doing surgeries for this case, although their availability is not.
I'm sorry, Yasser, how much does it cost for the patient to pay for the instrument or the instrumented fusion for getting the screws and devices? Is that very costly or in your area, or is it not so costly? How does that, what is the price? What is the, how does that affect the patient?
It depends upon the type of the screws. For example, we have Turkish screws from a company called Nova Spine. The price of each screw is $75. While for Meditronic, the price is $130. This is for the lateral screw only. The bar price, according to the amount of, I mean, the levels. For example, four screws by $75 means $300 plus $100 for the bar, lateral bar, they equal $400. If Meditronic, no, the price will be more.
Mm-hmm.
$134 for each screw, and the bar will be more. And TLIF cage, for example, from Turkish company, we are using it by about $250, while for Meditronic, equal about $600 for each TLIF cage. So that in general, as I told you, in the general hospital, the surgery will be free. They will pay only just the screws. While in the private hospitals, these surgeries, for example, putting four screws with TLIF cage and two lateral rods for connection, four screws. One level of fixation. This will cost the patient about $3,000
mm-hmm.
in total. I mean, the hospital stay and the investigations and the drugs and the screws and TLIF cage. Total.
What's interesting here is in the U.S., if you are in a hospital, the cost of the instrumentation is borne by the hospital, but then the hospital multiplies the cost of those screws, that instrumentation, somewhere between 4 to 5 to 6 times, and that's what they end up then billing the insurance for the patient. So it's a very different system here.
We have no insurance, you know.
I just want to mention that, yeah, exactly, Dr. Yasser, that there is no insurance system and there is no taxes. So those numbers should be discussed directly with the patient, and the patient will pay that directly from this pocket. That's why Dr. Yasser is explaining that, because this is the direct discussion with the number with the patient, so he can understand and can agree. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you go to surgery, how do you make sure you have access to those screws unless you've spoken to the patient ahead of time and they've bought the screws so that they're available in case you need them?
In fact, these companies are having their sets of the instruments of fixation and the screws. They put and all the sizes, for example, 6x40 by 45 by 50, and et cetera. The cages, DLIF cages, the cervical spine, cervical for ICDF cages, of everything is available in the hospital and sterilized, ready for surgery at any time. And the patient will only go to some office outside the hospital. He will pay for this, the presenter of this company, the price of the screws and rods or cages which are needed, but they are available in the hospital.
I see. Okay. Do you use
available by companies, by private companies, not by the government?
Yeah. Do you use any kind of intraoperative monitoring for any of these cases? Somatosensory evoked potentials, motor evoked potentials, electromyography or EMG?
Yes, we are using this in cases of scoliosis, number one. And what we are using also the perioperative EMG.
Okay.
We have some specialists in this. By simple disease like discectomy or spinal stenosis, we are not using the EMG perioperatively.
Can I ask one question, Dr. Ali Adnan? I think you just joined. You joined us a little bit ago, and I think you heard the presentation. Do you have any comments from your experience?
Thanks, doctor. No, Dr. Yasser covered the all subjects. Yes, this is all obstacles. The instrumentation in governmental, especially in governmental hospital, because the most of the patients are poor and must pay for the company. The amount or the prices of the screw, always every week we facing the same problem, and some patients are very poor, cannot pay any price for the instrumentation, and this is a big problem and big deal. That is why we modified many things, like use of bone graft, as you mentioned previously, or sometime we modified what the available screw, as you will say in my cases, by shortening the screw and et cetera.
I think thank you very much, but I think Samer, what Nancy has and what Yasser have told us is for our viewers from all over the world, from the low income to the high income countries, there's a standard procedures which we've done for many years. Hadi, that's what you did, what I did, that can be very effective using bones for fusion. And as Nancy said, if you follow that out for 6 months or so, the results are the same. And then in other places, you can buy various instruments and there are various levels of costs. And then we get into more complicated ways. I am sure Yasser used his own vision to place the screws Is that correct? And you didn't use a right? You used your own experience in to place the screws. You knew where you were working. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, and
I'm another... also the C-arm. C-arm also is available.
Yeah, okay,
fluoro,
right.
A lot of
countries are not motorized.
I don't like the freehand.
In other countries, it's motorized and done by robots, and the expenses get more. And then we get into the area where people may be doing it for questionable indications, Nancy. It was quite obvious from what Yasser, the two cases he showed, that there was mobility, and you could see the potential for abuse of, well, I don't see it on the x-rays, but it's mobile at surgery. I mean, we could see it. It was obvious. But so there's a wide range of treatments everywhere in the world. And depending upon what your resources are, you can treat it well. Is that correct, Nancy?
I would say that is correct. I think that one variable that you probably don't see that we see is we see numbers of cases, lumbar spinal stenosis, neurogenic claudication, bilateral radiculopathy, MR, no evidence of instability, flexion extension films, no evidence of instability. Yet these patients end up with multi-level transforaminal lumbar interbody fusions, L2 to S1, L3 to S1, L4 to S1. So a lot of surgery here in the States is being done that's unnecessarily extensive. Do you see that where you are? Too much surgery is done that's not
in our country?
Yes.
Yes, yes. In our country, we call them as trained doctors. They are not human doctors. They are just doing fixation for any digital disease. Fixation, 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 auto fixation. Many patients, as I told you in my lecture, they called five doctors. All of them told me that you are in need for fixation. But I examined this patient clinically and see their MRI and their x-rays, flexion extension. There was no any sign of instability. I did for them the proper surgery without any fixation, and they were getting very, very well without any fixation.
But from what you're telling us, with your selection process, there are probably many patients that you are seeing that you were saying from the start, you don't need a fusion, you operate on them, you decompress them only, you don't do a fusion, and they do just fine, and they did not need a fusion. So that's probably a fairly large percentage of patients that you're seeing who you're saving from having an unnecessary fusion. Is that correct?
Not only unnecessary fusion. Many patients came to me with unnecessary surgery. You know that disease, spine disease, for example, this disease will resolve about, for example, in 6 weeks, for example, after conservative treatment. Limitation of the dangerous movements and everything. The which I give to my patients, and even.
Excellent. Yasser, excellent job. Just terrific job, and that relates to everybody around the world. Terrific job. Thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed these presentations. The material in this program is for informational purposes and is not intended for use as a diagnosis or treatment of a health problem or as a substitute for consulting a licensed medical professional. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to obtain CME credit and to guide us in future programming. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Send your questions or comments to ausman@snidigital.org. This program was supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation, owner of SNI and SNI Digital, and the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the leading gen television series Silent Majority Speaks, Role Models, and the Medical News Network. Thank you.